to invite you this morning to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel with me, 1 Psalms. What kind of Bible is he reading out of? I told you we shouldn't have come here. Anyway, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And I want to ask you, once you get there to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to ask you to say amen, please. Amen. Now, I don't know why, but I'm so nervous right now. I got a feeling I know why. I want to ask you if you would just to bow your heads with me, please. God, this morning, you know my heart. You know the things you and I have talked about. Father, you know the week it's been. Father, how fast-paced, nonstop it seemed. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, right now. That, oh God, in the next few moments, I pray for clarity of thought and speech. Not for an egotistical reason, but God, that your people may hear what your word says today. Father, about what your word says we ought to be and how we can accomplish that today. I pray for every soul that is in this room today. That God, in the next few moments we have together, that God, they begin to search their hearts and ask themselves, am I really doing what I ought to be doing? Am I really who I say I am in Jesus? I pray for all of those that will listen by the internet. I pray for them now that God, they do the same. Or they search their hearts. And as we look at one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, stories in the Bible, some of us has heard this story since we can remember in Sunday school, told to us by our parents, read it in your word. But I pray that we see today how this can be applied to our lives today in this place as an individual believer and as a church as a whole. I pray for that one person today that they would see that today they can have and attain the courage and the means and the ability to give their life to you as Lord and Savior today. For God, surely in a crowd this size, there is one today that does not have that relationship with you. There may be that one that does not have, they have that relationship, but they know beyond a shadow of a doubt right now that it's not what it should be. Whoever that person is this morning, I pray even now as we're praying to you that God, your Spirit begin to touch their lives, that their life may be changed today. That we may be all we can be for you and your kingdom this morning and from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Dr. Mark Foley, who is the president of the University of Mobile, through a lot of reading and research, has come to this conclusion. This is his conclusion now, that within the next 50 years, the United States of America, will become, and the main religion of this nation will be Islam. Not only will it be Islamic, but we will also be known as a paganistic nation. China will own 75% of our assets, and Christianity will be a past fault of religion in this nation. I heard those statistics and heard that phrase and thought to myself, my gracious, how can that be? That would never happen here in the United States of America and see all of that come about. But I'm here to tell you today, you begin to read the newspapers and watch the television, news, whichever news channel you watch, CNN, Headline News, MSNBC, Fox News, go on and so forth. You begin to scratch your head and say, hey, you know what? This man may have a point. He really might have a point in that. I encourage you, if you're in this room here this morning, you've never attended a CLU class, I want to encourage you to be here this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We'll finish up our creationism in my class. We'll finish up creationism, and then we'll dive right into Islam and Christianity in the United States. I want to encourage you to be here for that. I really do. With all of those thoughts in mind, then, you have to ask yourself, is this country really headed down that road? Draw your own conclusion to that. The second thing that you have to ask yourself is this, then, if it is, what can we do as believers to see this turn around? How do we accomplish that? What can we do, what can I do as an individual believer, and what can Grandview Baptist Church do as a church as a whole to see something change? I mean, think about it, guys. Listen to me. We live here in the southeast, the southeast corner of the state of Alabama. We about as far south as you can get. Now, I had the opportunity the other day to stand on the further southernmost point of the state of Alabama. I stood there. This is it, as far as I can go, without getting wet. You think about what our state is known for. Our state's known for a lot of things. We really are. I tell you what, here in the state of Alabama, listen to this. Do you realize this? Here in the last 2 years, oh my gracious, this state has been able to, with pride, to yell Roll Tide or War Eagle. Amen. We hold the last 2 years national championships in football, and listen to this. A team member from either Auburn or Alabama has hoisted the Heisman Trophy. Far as my recollection serves me, there's not a state in the union that's been able to do that. Whoo! That's good stuff, ain't it? But listen to this. You know, our state's also known for this as well. Do you realize we're known for one of the pulses, or the one of the main pulse of the Bible Belt in the southeastern United States? Alabama, the Bible Belt. I never figured out why they say Bible Belt. Never really figured that one out. But religion runs deep here in the state of Alabama, just like football does. It runs deep here. And I am here to tell you, listen to me, as I've traveled all over this state, seems as if here in the last year, and guys, listen to me, I'm beginning to see, as your pastor, a change in the religious pulse or state of mind of this great state. Well, what can we do here, sitting on Forrester Road, just outside Dothan, Alabama, and Cowartz, Alabama? What can we do at this church to make a difference based on those statistics I just give you? It's a good question, one that needs an answer this morning. See, I believe this, as your pastor this morning, I believe this, that this church, listen to me, that Grandview Baptist Church in the last 2 years has come to the point of being a mission-minded church. I really believe that. I mean, if you're new to us here at Grandview, you may be a guest with us this morning. 2 years ago, we began to pray that God would send us folks inside of this church, that God would send us folks inside this church, that we would see the missions efforts of Grandview Baptist Church begin and take off. And He's done that. Some of you have come on board here at Grandview, and you have that mission mindset. And I mean, I'm here to tell you, listen, it has taken off. We have locally begun to touch people's lives and things around this area in this church. We have begun to minister to people through missions efforts of this church. Yesterday was a prime example of that. I want to encourage you to be back here tonight to hear the stories of what took place yesterday. It'll be a blessing to your heart. And God has honored our prayers, and that's been answered. But listen to this. Not only that, we have been able to reach out not only here in the surrounding area, but we've also been able to reach out in the state as well. We've sent missions teams all over this state to do things around the state here. God's blessed in that area. Listen to this. We've sent missions teams all over this country as well. This has happened in the last 2 years. And not only that, listen to this. This year, we will send there will be a mission team from Grandview Baptist Church go to a foreign country on a mission effort. Wow. And not only that, listen, this is one of the specific prayers that we would also see somebody called as a missionary from this church to go and serve on a foreign mission field. He stood right here behind this pulpit the other Sunday and said, I am going to South Africa as a missionary. Amen. Now, what has that got to do with all this, preacher? Boy, that sounds great. It does. I want to challenge you this morning as individuals and as a church right now. We are mission-minded. I believe that. But you know, there's something else that we need to be as well. We need to be evangelistic mindset as well. Well, wait a minute now. I thought that's what missions is all about. It is. We need to have an evangelistic mindset today in this church. Every believer. Listen, that's not just left up to the pastor and the staff of this church. It's not just left up to the deacons. It's not just left up to the Sunday school teachers. It's not just left up to the COU teachers. It's just not left up to the Sunday evening teacher. It's not just left up to those folks. It is everybody's responsibility who is a believer in this place today to be an evangelist. Amen. It is. It's up to every one of us today. Guys, listen to me. God has blessed us in that mission mindset, but now I want to challenge you as pastor of this church that we become evangelistic in our mindset as well. That we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we see souls saved, and that we see the waters of baptism stirred every Sunday. Y'all heard me the first time I ever preached to you. You're going to get a dream, get a big one. My thought is this, is that one of the most overworked teams in the church, the one that is dragging, that is give, slam out, ought to be the baptism team. Amen? But listen to this. It's going to take me and you out there reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ before we can ever work them to death. You're on the baptism team, say, I quit now. No, you won't. You'll be smiling ear to ear. I know you guys on that baptism team, you love to do that. Listen this morning. I want to tie this together to one of the most popular stories found in the Word of God. Because there's somebody sitting in this room here today, listen to me. You know, and I know, man, I'm scared. When it comes to talking about Jesus Christ and leading somebody to the Lord as Savior, man, that scares me. I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. You can do it. See, the thing you and I've got to do is we've got to put ourselves in positions to be able to do that. We can't just sit inside these four walls on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and expect it to happen. It's just not so. We've got to be out there where they're at. We've got to be out there knocking on the doors. We've got to be out there engaging people with the Word of God before we'll ever see anybody come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right? Here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, is probably one of the most familiar stories in the entire Bible, and that is the story of David and Goliath. I had the opportunity to speak Thursday morning, spoke to a group of young people, used this passage of Scripture as my text that I use, and some of that's filtered in here today, so bear with me. Some of you in here that heard me speak that day, so just bear with me. But there's some of you, this is brand new. You say, not David and Goliath, I've heard that before. Well, don't turn me off just yet. Hold on. So you remember the story, don't you? You remember the story about little David? You remember David, who he was? He was a shepherd boy. He tended the sheep of his daddy. He tended the sheep of Jesse. He made sure that all those sheep were taken care of. Well, one day his daddy called him in out of the field and he said, hey boy, take this food here and go to your brothers on the front line of battle and make sure they got something to eat. Go on now. Shoot. And so David did exactly what his daddy said. Now, you've studied anything about this, you know David was probably between the ages of 10 and 12. I mean, he was a little feller. And he took off, did exactly what his daddy said, and he walked up there, and he finally found the front lines of battle, and there's the armies of Israel, and there's the army of the Philistines across the way. And he's standing there, and he's talking to Saul, and all of a sudden, this big joker walks out of the crowd across the battlefield over there. I mean, he's a big one. He walks out across there, and his name is Goliath. And Goliath walks out across that battlefield, and he walks up there, and he begins to mock the God of Israel. Begins to mock the armies of Israel, calling them worthless, and I'm sure the list goes on and on. He's standing out there, he is a mountain of a man. He is about 9 foot tall. Woo, I'd love to see him on a basketball court. He is about 9 foot tall, stands there in his armor. The Bible tells us, as you read through chapter 17, that he has on a breastplate. That breastplate, that is armor to protect his abdomen, weighs around 125 pounds. The soldiers in our armies today carry between 75 and 100 pounds in their pack. Just this man had 125 on his chest. The Bible tells us that he is standing there with a spear, that the head of that spear that is made of bronze, the head itself weighs 15 pounds. And the shaft of that spear is like a weaver's beam. Give you an example of that, probably about a 12-foot 2x4. Give you an example of that. That's what he's holding in his hand. And he mocks all of them, and he says, he puts this challenge before. I'm paraphrasing all this, by the way. If you're trying to read this in the Bible, say, man, I don't know what translation he's reading, but it ain't mine. Go ahead and get that out there, all right? He looks up there at the nations of Israel, the armies of Israel, and he says these words. I'm going to put this in South Alabama terms. I'm going to tell y'all what I'm going to do. Any one of y'all that can come down here and whoop me, it's over. You win, we all go home. That's what he said. David looks at Saul and he says, who does this clown think he is? Who does this joker think he is mocking the very God of Israel? And you see this little boy getting fired up now? Who does he think he is? I'll go down there and whoop him. Won't none of y'all go? I just added that. Won't none of y'all go? I'll go down there and whoop him. Saul looks at him and says, man, you're just a little boy. You can't whoop that monster. Look at him down there. He could just thump you on the head and you're out. David says, I'll whoop him. Yeah. Saul says, well, here, put on my armor. Man, they start packing the armor on him. He just covered up. He disappears. Well, that ain't going to work. There's three things that this little boy had that every believer in this room can have today when it comes to being an evangelist for the kingdom of God. There's three things that little boy had, David, that every one of us in this room today can have when it comes to being an evangelist. I know how it is. I really do. I know how it is when you begin to talk to somebody about your faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, it's scary, isn't it? It's all right to say amen right there. It is. It's scary to begin to talk to somebody about this. But listen, here is a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old little boy fixing to go down. Now, that's South Alabama, fixing. Fixing to go down and whoop this 9-foot giant. He's fixing to put it on him. I'll take him. All y'all stay here. I'll take him. I love that. Man. Take your Bibles with me now and look at 1 Samuel 17. And look down at verse 32 with me. We'll see the first thing that little David had. 1 Samuel 17. And verse 32, the Bible reads, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go down and fight him. I got it, Saul. Don't worry about it. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been the fighting man from his youth. He's battle hardened. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Can you just see him? I mean, he's getting worked up. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Let's do it right now. Hot dog. You see what he had right there? He had courage. But he had it. I'm here to tell you, he's looking at a mountain of a man down in that valley, and he tells Saul, I got this. You stay here. I'll whoop him. I'll be back in a few minutes. Why? Because God has given me the ability, when I was tending daddy's sheep back in the pasture, he has given me the ability to whoop a lion and a bear. Not just whoop them, but I killed them. But notice where his courage came from. Listen to me. If you today are banking on your courage to be the best evangelist you can be, you are destined to fail. David was not banking on himself. David was banking on God Almighty. Because he says, just as God delivered me from that lion and that bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. I don't care how big the obstacle is before me. With God on my side, who cares who's against me, is what he's saying. Hot dog. Some of us sitting in here this morning, I know how it is. I've been there. And we're thinking to ourselves, you know, maybe there's a coworker you got at work. Maybe there's a family member you have in your family. Maybe there's a friend, an acquaintance. You know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Lord forbid, but if they were to pass away today, they would spend eternity in a place called hell. But you and I have allowed our fears to overtake us to where we don't say one word to them about their eternal destiny. I encourage you today to not draw strength and courage from yourself, but to draw it from God today, just like David did. This little boy's fired up. He's ready to whoop this giant. He tells Saul, I can do it. I can handle him. Let's get it on right now. But then notice what else he has right here. Not only do we see that David had courage, but notice this with me down at about verse 40. The Bible tells us this. It says, then he took his staff in his hand, talking about David now, took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. Picture this. Here is this small boy, a 9-foot warrior in battle gear, a spear that would go through that wall over there, is standing down there, and the army of Israel sends this boy. I can only imagine what was going through Goliath's mind. Do what? You're sending this little boy to whoop me. Come on. But you know what? Listen to this. Not only did David get courage from God, but God also gave David the means by which to defeat him. Your pastor, if you've been here any time, you know this. I think outside the box, sometimes way outside the box. I read scripture like this right here, and I begin to try to visualize the scene there. And these verses really stick out to me. Now, follow me with this. This is my thought, so bear with me for just a moment. These men, if you've ever seen any pictures of that part of the world, this is not a very hospitable environment. In fact, this is probably one of the most desolate, dry places in the earth, or on the earth, rather. And the Bible tells us that David, listen to this, notice what the scripture says, David went down to the stream and picked out 5 smooth stones. Something like this one right here. That thing's smooth. This little rock come from the Little Pigeon River in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And you know why it's so smooth? It's because for years and years and years and years and more years and more years, water has rushed over this stone. It has rolled down the creek bed. It has rolled down the river, and it has become perfectly smooth. Think about this. God knew eons before that mountain of a man walked out in the center of that battlefield and before little David walked up to Saul, he knew that them 5 stones were going to be needed by that little boy to take down that giant. God placed the means for David to overcome the obstacle before him, all of his fears, all of his doubts, everything. God said, there's a stream, there's 5 rocks, have at it, boy. Let's apply it now to our subject at hand. Wherever you're at, in whatever situation you find yourself, when it comes to sharing your faith with someone, if you step out on faith and you rely on the courage of God, I guarantee you He will give you the means that you need to discuss and to share your faith with whoever is before you. He will do it. No doubt about it. It will happen. But see, not only did God give David courage, and not only did He give him means, but there's one other thing that He gave him there. Notice with me here now in the Word of God. Look down at about verse 48 with me. The last thing that God gave David is ability. If you're writing this down. He gave him ability. He gave him courage. He gave him the means to accomplish the task. And then He gave him the ability to accomplish the task. Notice what happens here in verse 48. The Word tells us, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. He's down for the count. He's out of there. He's gone. Sayonara. Bye-bye. He's out. He killed him. Okay, what's so big about that, preacher boy? I'm glad you asked. Now I'm going to answer it for you. And he only really needed one to get out of that stream, didn't he? Just one. One smooth stone. Pow! Right between the running lights. He's out. Listen to me today. I used to pitch baseball in high school. Some of you guys sitting back there on the back. Now, I'm not going to throw it at you, okay? Some of y'all sitting on the back row back there. Who's asleep? I doubt seriously I could hit you in the chest with this thing, throwing it at you. I doubt seriously I could do that. You know what David did? Listen to this. David took what is the equivalent of a length of leather strap with a leather patch right in the center of that leather strap, folded that leather patch around this, took the two ends of the strap, and begin to sling them around his head, let go of one end of it, and it hit him right between the eyes. Boom! What's so big about that? Have you ever tried that? I have, and I've whopped myself between the running lights. This little boy took that sling, one rock, and dropped him in his tracks. It's amazing, isn't it? I was up at my uncle. Many of you know my uncle passed away here a while back. And I was up there going through his house and I found this thing. Boy, it's old too. This is my great-granddaddy's slingshot handle. Now, if you know anything about these things, it's kind of unique. Because what they would do is they would find an old inner tube out of a car tire somewhere. And they would cut strips of that rubber out of here. And they would put it over each side of this right here. Run those lengths back here. Get another piece with a couple of pieces of strings. And they would sit there and shoo. Again, for all of you here in the front row, I doubt I could hit you with this thing right here. I thought it was unique as I was looking through this past week and noticed, and you can't see it this morning, but if you'd like to see it after the service, feel free to come up here and look at it. Right here embossed in the handle of it is Little David. Little David. I thought about that this week. We'll share this with you, church, today, okay, as we get ready to close. We are at Grandview seeing God bless this church beyond measure. Had somebody ask me just the other day, tell me about the church you pastor. All right. What's happening there? I shared the story I just shared with you about the mission-mindedness of this church and how God strategically placed people inside this church to accomplish that. But you know what? Listen to me. You may never have been to Beyond the Walls. You may never have signed up for a foreign mission team. You may never have been called to a foreign mission field as a missionary. But I guarantee you this, every believer in this room, you have been called to share your faith. You have. So, with that thought in mind, that means this, that this church ought to be evangelistically working every day. But I've learned this in 15 years of ministry. I have learned this, that what keeps a lot of us sitting in our chairs in the auditorium or at our homes and keeps us there from going out on the GROW program of the church, or just sharing our faith when we come into contact with people. The overwhelming obstacle that's in so many of our lives this morning is fear. Really. Now, fear for some of us, or for all of us, comes in different arenas. For some of us, we may convince ourselves that we don't know enough about the Word of God to share our faith. For some of us, we may convince ourselves that we can't speak clearly enough to share the Word of God. Hey, I'll be the first one to tell you, I've shared this so many times. I stand up here every Sunday and butcher the English language. And hey, but you know what? Listen. I know that God has called me to do what I'm doing right now. I know that. And for every believer in this room, we ought to come to the conclusion that God has called us to share our faith as well. Now, to overcome that fear takes courage, not of yourself. Chase this rabbit through the briar patch for just a moment. You'll hear this a lot today, courage, and a lot of preaching today. You rely on the courage you have. Hey, as Johnny Hunt says, there's a Greek word for that, and that's phooey. Don't, hey, rely on the courage of God Almighty today. rely on God today for the means by which to share your faith. And thirdly, rely on God for the ability to accomplish that. And He will give it to you. I guarantee you. If you would, bow with me, please, this morning. Now, as you are sitting there this morning and you are bowing your heads and you have your eyes closed, the first invitation is this. Maybe you say to yourself, well, you know, I really could be better in my efforts to see lost people saved. Maybe you're sitting in this room and maybe you've been a believer for years today and you've just never shared your faith with anybody. And maybe today you're sitting here and through these words and seeing the example that David set so many years ago of relying on God for courage and relying on God for the means to accomplish the task at hand and then the ability to see that through, you realize today the Spirit of God has spoken to you and said, today I need to start doing that. And you want to make that commitment. This is what I invite you to do. Wherever you're at in this room right now, we're not singing yet. We're not playing yet. I want to invite you to get up wherever you're at right now. You hadn't got to come to a pastor. You hadn't come to a minister. You come right here to this altar. See, you need to make this commitment to God, not to me. But I want to encourage you right now to come on. Say, preacher, I can't get on my knees. I can't do that physically. I'm unable. That's fine. If you want to just come to these chairs right here on the front, please come here to these chairs. Just sit down right here. And today, make that commitment to God. Maybe you're sitting in this room today. In the last few weeks now, you have fought back tears. You have fought back an overwhelming feeling of doing something. And for whatever reason, Sunday after Sunday, you have been able to stand up and walk out those doors right back there and drag the burden out that you drug in here with you. Can I encourage you this morning right now to rely on the courage of God, to rely on Him to provide the means for you, and to rely on Him to give you the ability this morning, right now, to stand up and come to this altar. You take the first step, I guarantee you, He'll see you through to the last one. And Father, I pray for whoever that person is this morning now, that God, we see fruit brought forth, that we see lives changed this morning. Not for us, but for You and Your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Allen.
Stand as we sing.